Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is January 5th, and this is the Bruins Beat on CLNS Media. And welcome into Bruins Beat on CLNS Media. My name is Evan Marinofsky. I hope you guys are having a great day and a happy new year. It's my first podcast talking to you guys since 2021 began, and it has been a great year thus far. We're 5 days into the year, and I can't complain, so I will take that any day I can. The best part of the new year, the Bruins start up again and the NHL starts up again. Training camp is well underway. By the time you listen to this, it'll be day two or day three or day four. I say that actually in this conversation with Connor Ryan, a Boston Sports Journal who was on this week. We discussed what we saw at camp, what we think will develop, some predictions. We discussed a longtime Bruin leaving and a longtime Bruin becoming captain. You can take a guess at who those two players are. I bet you get them right. This was a fun episode, obviously, because we had relevant Bruins news to talk about. And we weren't just saying, oh, you know, Mike Hoffman, maybe the Bruins will get Mike Hoffman. And like at that time, that was it. Like that was all we could talk about. And there were chances they would actually get Mike Hoffman there. That was like legit. But nice to be able to talk about on ice stuff and potential and Jack Studnicka, which we get into in this episode. So I think you guys will really enjoy this. Before we get into the episode, are we ready for some football? Are we ready for some football? That's the real question. College football heads into bowl season, and there's a big matchup coming up between Alabama and Ohio State. NFL regular season is finishing up with the playoff picture taking shape. There's only one place that has you covered and one place we trust, that I trust actually, and that's betonline.ag. Sign up for today for a free account at BetOnline and use that promo code CLNS50 for your 50% welcome bonus. I'm most excited about that national championship game and also most excited about the NHL bets you can make. There's the futures bets. There's each division you can bet on. You can bet on Stanley Cup odds. And then once the season starts January 13th, you can bet on games. You can bet on games, and you can bet on MVP, and you can bet on everything. And that's what I'm most excited about, aside from the football, and aside from the national championship, and aside from the NFL. To me, it's the NHL. I'm very excited about giving you guys a discount on betting for that. So don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use that promo code CLNS50 to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts. Without further ado, make sure to subscribe to Bruins Ringside on YouTube and the CLNS Media YouTube page. And without further ado, here is my conversation with Connor Ryan. And we're here with Connor Ryan. Connor, what is up?
Evan, I spent the morning and afternoon at a hockey rink watching the Bruins practice for the first time in months. So I am feeling splendid, feeling overjoyed, and looking forward to the 2021 season. How are you doing today?
I actually feel the same way. In the same boat. Same boat. Isn't that why? Were we at the same hockey rink?
I didn't see you, but I don't know. It's a big rink, but.
Yeah, maybe we missed each other. Maybe I was on the other side or something. But no, for those who don't know, we were at Bruins training camp day one, because this is being recorded Monday night. We're recording this after training camp. Obviously, as you will listen to this, day two will be underway and maybe day three and four. There's a lot of training camp days. So day one will quickly become irrelevant. It could, maybe it won't, but it could. So we're going to try to keep this podcast, relevant to the future. We're not going to sit here and discuss Kevin Miller's play or in day one, or, you know, Jacob Zaboral not looking great in day one. Maybe he looked great in day two. We want to keep things fresh. And so, I wanted to discuss in this episode. First, we have not been on Bruins Beat. We've not done a podcast since Chara left. That seems like forever ago now. We did that podcast. We both predicted he would not return. That was the headline. And then the next day he was gone.
Yes.
So perfect. For those who are listening who are like, oh, I want to hear what Evan and Connor have to say about Chara leaving. They got what we thought might happen, not what actually happened. So, your quick thoughts, just really quick, because again, it's a week old now, but really quick, your thoughts on Chara leaving.
Yeah, I think now that you've had some time to process it, I think for a lot of people, especially the first reaction is kind of that, you know, visceral is the right word, but just the immediate kind of emotional response of like, I can't believe, you know, they let a guy like him go, especially when you factor in, you know, the contract that he signed with Washington and the fact that it seemed like based on, you know, his presser with Washington, that it seemed like they pretty much were like, hey, we're going to give you this reserve role, right? Like, you're not going to play maybe every once in a while, but you kind of sit back on it now and you think about it. It just seems like it's just an unfortunate ending for all involved, right? Like, I can't fathom the Bruins being in a spot where they're like, yeah, you're going to be our seventh guy. Like, we're going to not play you over Zaboral and Vakanainen. You know, it just seems like it's unfortunate that it got to that point where they weren't able to work out a deal, because you hear him, what he says about what it's going to be like in Washington, where he says nothing's guaranteed. It's like, well, is what's going to happen in Washington going to be exactly what they pitched him that he, you know, mapped out? Because, I mean, he hasn't been able to practice yet because he's in quarantine going down to Washington. We all know this is an accelerated training camp, and you've got a situation where they've got a lot of back-to-backs and a lot of games early on. Like, are they guaranteeing him, like, you know, 18-plus minutes a night? And if that's the case, is it going to be a situation where he's going to be in a similar spot to what Boston maybe envisioned of him, where he's going to be rested on back-to-backs or something like that? So it just seems now that you kind of sit back and evaluate what the different roles might have been, I feel like we could be in a spot in a month or so where it's just going to be an unfortunate situation where he's pretty much in the exact same spot that we all thought he'd be in, just in a different jersey, which is, again, just unfortunate all around. Not only the fact that Bruins lose their captain, they lose just that guy that would have helped them out in an area of need in terms of the defense, but you now also have this added pressure to guys like Zaboral and Vakanainen. Like, you know, these guys are going to go through the struggles and the ups and downs this year, but now every single time one of these guys blows a tire or they can't keep a puck in, you know, it's just on Twitter, it's going to be like, this is who we replaced Zdeno Chara with. Like, and that, you know, that's part of the business, I guess, right? But still, it's a tough hit for a few of these younger defensemen who are trying to, like, cut their teeth up at the NHL, that they've got kind of that narrative on top of the natural pressure, right, of landing a spot in the NHL. So I think it's just an unfortunate situation all around.
Yeah, it doesn't help those guys, because I think we're going to hear that a lot this year.
Yeah.
You're going to hear it a ton, because I don't think there's a chance that they don't experience those struggles. And I don't think that – I don't think for the – I doubt that guys like Vakanainen and Zaboral are going to be good replacements. I think you're going to see a lot of John Moore, Jeremy Lozon, who we figured, and is young as well. So got to give props there, young guy. But we'll get into that a little later. Now with Chara gone, though, my favorite thing going on in Bruins land right now is the tiptoeing around that the Bruins are doing of just naming Bergeron captain. You have Chara and his media availability last week.
Just like, ruining it.
Just ruined it. Just completely came out.
Shocked
was like,
all
yep,
of us.
Patrice Bergeron, next captain of the Bruins. Then Cassidy Monday basically was like, you know, if Patrice is captain, if Patrice is captain, and I'm like, oh my God. And every guy, every person wants to say it, but I think they're giving this kind of time to give respect to Chara. And I think that's what their initial thing was. So fine. I think it's just funny. Cause like, I don't think there's any chance it's anyone else. Wouldn't it be great
if it wasn't?
And we're like, we're naming David Krejci the captain, or we're naming like, you know, Charlie McAvoy the captain. Not to say they don't deserve it.
Right.
But like, Bergeron's the obvious choice. Like,
Andre Kasha.
Nick Ritchie is going to be captain. Yes. Talk about like a backlash. Like Warrior would be burned to the ground if Nick Ritchie became captain of the Bruins.
It's good to see that Bruins fans are already in midseason form, because I think probably you were in the same boat. We did something as harmless on Monday as simply tweet like Ritchie-Coyle-Smith. And my God, you would think that I like had insulted like the South Shore on Twitter, because I was just bombarded with salty rhetoric thrown back at me on Twitter for it. So it seems like Bruins fans are already, at least most of them have, the jury's already been decided in terms of what, Ritchie's gonna give this team, but we'll see.
I went so far as to say Ritchie looked good with Coyle.
I thought Ritchie looked, yeah. I think.
And again, it's day one. I said
it's
it.
Day
it's
one.
Day one.
So, I mean, we'll eat crow if, you know, we revisit this in a week when training camp's like almost over, considering this is how quick the preseason really is for the Bruins. But, Ritchie, you also have to factor in, I think, one thing that I'm sure stood out for you is that Craig Smith looked pretty damn good. I mean, the shot is what, you know, everyone knows. I mean, he's a proven, sniper, a guy who gets a whole bunch of pucks on net. But also, like, I was kind of surprised at how, good his skating was. Like, seemed like he was, really good on, you know, a couple of those drills there, was, you know, finishing a lot of the passes, Coyle was sending to him. But, I think when you have a guy like Coyle, who's a puck possession guy, but you also have this guy who can operate in space, like, Smith, I think that also maybe opens up a guy like Ritchie a little bit more space to, you know, go down low or throw his weight around. And again, I think that's going to be the biggest thing for him, is just committing to that role, because I think people were excited to see what Brett Ritchie was going to do last year early on. But for as big of a guy as he is, he was kind of like, every time you'd watch him, he'd be over like at the half wall. Like, all right, man, like, please go down to like the crease. Please just sit there. Like, so, I mean, if Ritchie does that, you know, I think you've got, I already think you've got a good third line there with Coyle and Smith, but if Ritchie can contribute, I mean, whatever gets that line rolling, right?
Exactly. I know. It's one of those things like, when you say Ritchie's good, you got to be like, well, but it's all, you know, preface it, because people jump on you. But it's also because Anders Bjork was in Group A as well. So it's also something that you have to think about. But I think another candidate for the third line left wing spot when Pastrnak is healthy is Stanika. I think Stanika is obviously a candidate for that third line. Stanika seems to be a candidate everywhere. I thought he looked great in day one. Yes. I think that's going to age well. I think Stanika looks good for the rest of camp, and plays next to Bergeron on opening night. But he's someone that looks like he's made a real jump, and we both thought he looked great in the playoffs, but it looks like he's gotten a little bit better.
Yeah. I mean, I think we've mentioned it. I mean, I can't even think about how many times we've talked about just his game up in Toronto, and how what stood out is not just, you know, the skill, but more or less his ability to, you know, go to the dirty areas of the ice and generate quality looks. But you watch, especially in practice, where, you know, he's got that kind of open ice in front of him. You know, he finished quite a few plays today with a shot that he's been working on. Just seems like a guy that, especially, it seems like they're committing to, you know, carving out a role for him. And I think as much as you would view like, all right, you're going to start your first full season on the top line, that'd be like a high pressure spot. But that seems like a spot that if you're a young player, or if you're the team wanting to ease a guy into it, what better place to start him with than with Bergeron and Marchand? I mean, that's kind of what they did with Sagan for a while. That's what they did with Anders Bjork when he first started up here in 2017. It seems like that's kind of a good way to ease these guys in, when you've got a responsible two-way line to play with, along with two all-pro, you know, legitimate guys like that, right? So, I mean, he could, you know, Stanika could just hang around grade A ice, and most likely he's going to get some scoring chances coming his way. So, And again, that's a best case scenario for the Bruins is you get him rolling early. You know, he's feeling confident up in the NHL. He's scoring the first few games. Then Pastrnak comes back. You either have Stanika you can put further down the lineup where he's in a groove, or, I mean, we talk about it all the time, but if you want to move Pasta down and Stanika's in that spot and you balance out the scoring, that could also be a situation. So it's encouraging at least to see that rather than, you know, seeing how Stanika would fare as being one of those guys in that pool of skaters, it seems like they're making a committed effort to, you know, putting him in a featured role early and try to get him in a groove, because you don't have a lot of time over the next few weeks to kind of get these guys ready before the games really start to matter.
And it's funny, we mentioned this between Group A and B. You know, the past couple of years, there's been a lack of depth sometimes on offense, and where we're kind of like, well, you know, do they have someone who can fit that right side next to Krejci? Obviously, that's been forever. But, you know, they have someone who can fit the left side or right side of Coyle. Like, what is the deal there? And it feels like this year, it's more like, who's the odd man out? Because there's going to be people who are going to be watching games from level nine that necessarily wouldn't be sitting for a different team. I mean, you have guys like Bjork and Richie and potentially Stanika at times. And, you know, when it comes to the fourth line, we kind of seclude the fourth line from everything else. Mm-hmm. Like, we almost put like the top three lines together and then like the fourth line.
Yeah.
But you wonder about guys like Chris Wagner and you know, even Par Lindholm and Greg McKegg and what the deal is down there.
I mean, Frederick, like, you've got
Frederick as well. And I thought he looked good in day one.
Yeah, he looked really strong on the puck. But I think that's also one thing where, even if you want to, I'm sure we'll talk about this in other podcasts and stuff later, but even if you want to just focus on the fourth line and kind of have that own separate pool of players, like, there's a lot of bodies that you could see fitting in there, not enough spots, right? I mean, you've got Corrali, but you'd imagine Wagner has a set role there, but, you know, what if a guy like Frederick pushes, or, you know, you have Lindholm or McKegg, or even like a guy like Kuhlman, who is probably better suited in kind of a north-south straight line role. Like, there's a lot of different guys that could factor into that grouping too. So it's a good problem to have if you're the Bruins. I'd imagine they'd wish they'd had like a full actual training camp to really see how these guys could do over the course of preseason games and stuff like that. So not ideal, but still a good problem to have, I guess, when you've got too many forwards for only so many spots.
A 1 year that they don't have the full training.
Yeah, exactly.
They're stacked on offense. Where they're not stacked, though, is defense. Obviously, that's something we've touched upon quite a bit. But when you look at defensively, this is a team, as we have said all offseason, the left side is barren. We that kind of was the feel even if Chara stayed, but now Chara gone, it's just like open season on the left side. Now, day one, the pairings were Jeremy Lauzon and Charlie McAvoy, Matt Grzelcyk and Brandon Carlo, and those make sense. Those make sense. I don't have any big gripes with it, except the fact that I wish you could pair a better left shot defense with McAvoy. And I think that that's like kind of, I think where people are going to have a tough time with, I think that's why I kind of wanted Grzelcyk there. Yeah. And I, again, it's day one.
Yeah.
Grzelcyk could be with McAvoy tomorrow. They were in different groups.
Right.
But at the same time, I think there's legitimate question about Jeremy Lauzon. Bruce Cassidy is, you know, sat him in the postseason, but likes him in general, talked really well of him on Monday. So I feel like in the top four, my little prediction, I don't know if this is a hot take or not, but you're going to see Jeremy Lauzon start there to start the season, going to struggle a little bit, and then you're going to see John Moore up there. And you're going to watch Bruins Twitter, Bruins fans, Bruins everything just lose their collective minds. And I don't think Moore's as bad as people say he is. I don't think he's great. Mm-hmm. But I think if you want to put him in there temporarily as sort of like a
stopgap,
I think he can do it.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I mean, I was kind of not surprised because, again, as I think we've mentioned many times already, day one of camp. But it is definitely interesting to see them go with, you know, McAvoy, Lauzon, and Kalo Grzelcyk, just because it seems like the numbers would point more to kind of those groupings being switched around a little bit. But, you know, you can make the case for it, right? I mean, Lauzon is maybe more of a steadier defensive guy, and it opens up McAvoy a little bit more. You kind of still have the Krug, Kalo dynamic with a guy like Grzelcyk with Kalo. Even though there's really not a lot of, like, tape or stats backing up like a McAvoy Lozon pairing. They really haven't played that much, but on paper, you'd imagine it would work out well. You put a lot of guys with Charlie McAvoy, you're probably still going to have a pretty good pairing. But I think the biggest question is you go kind of beyond that, then you figure out what the third pairing is. And they got a lot to work on in terms of just identifying who like are the logical picks. Like, is it going to be, are they just going to roll with John Moore and Kevin Miller, or is it going to be, you know, a guy like Zboril, who I thought was kind of iffy in on day one? You know, does he stand out? Does Vaakanainen make a push? Or, I mean, are one of these college free agents that I think some people are pretty high on, like, is Nick Wolf going to, you know, fight for a spot? Is Jack Eichon going to land a spot? Like, who knows? Like, one of these guys make a crazy push. Like, Nick Wolf reminds me of, like, an Adam McQuaid, which I think he needs some seasoning, but that's, like, a guy who kind of came out of nowhere and just became, like, just a stalwart and on that third pairing. So, still a lot to be determined for sure, but we'll see if Cassidy switches things up, because I'm sure this whole narrative is going to get flipped on its head when we get there on Tuesday for day two.
Yeah, I mean, you look at it and you look at sort of, you know, your third pairing guys. I mean, you have obviously Zboril and Vaakanainen, and you have Connor Clifton. You have Kevin Miller, who looked great on day one. Everyone was kind – I didn't think he was that great in the early drills, and then he kind of turned it around. Again, we talk about it like it's a game. It's just – it's a practice.
Yes.
People look good and stuff and bad in others. But, you know, you have John Moore. You have Connor Clifton. You have Jeremy Lozon. So it's like you have these fringe guys, and some of them are being thrust into top four roles. And in some ways, like we talked about on the offensive front, you have guys who are going to be left out. Feels like you're going to have guys who are going to be left out on defense. Your worry, though, is that they leave out the wrong guys, and they put in the wrong ones. So they make the wrong decisions. I just worded that terribly. But you leave out the guys who would have fit in the lineup, and you put the ones in who would not. So, you know, you have Jacob Zboril playing, and dare I say, like, John Moore not playing. Not as good. But so that, I think that's sort of the thing where, like, it's tough to go off of one day camp. This is kind of the, I guess we could say that for the whole episode. You can't go off one day for this whole thing, but I don't know, man. I don't see how Jacob Zboril or Earl Vaakanainen, there's not that bite to them, you know? Like, that's totally an eye test thing, but there's not that urgency. There's not that, like, you know, Zboril had a tough time against people in one-on-ones. Vaakanainen,
Frederick was knocking him around a little bit.
Yeah, Vaakanainen looks at times like there's not that urgency. I know Vaakanainen's not been known as a practice player. Cassidy used to get on him because he wasn't practicing hard enough.
Yeah.
You'd think that he would get that message. I don't know. I just, to me, with those guys, I don't see it with them. I think it's going to come down to Lozon and John Moore on the left side. And they'll play Zboril. They'll play Vaakanainen. They'll play them. Those guys will get time, especially if there's a COVID bug or they just get injured in general. Like, you can never have enough defensemen, so they're going to play. But I just wonder how fast we look at it and go, oh, this is not going to work out.
Yeah. I mean, I'm looking forward to seeing, especially now that there's not going to be any preseason games, I think you're going to see quite a few inter-squad scrimmages over the next week. And I'm looking forward to seeing Zboril because I don't think we've really seen him in, like, a game setting. You know, we've seen him in drills. We've only seen him up in the NHL, I think, two total games, right? So, and I haven't been watching, you know, game tape of Providence, you know, with him in the lineup, but seems like he's a guy that is surprisingly physical when you see, you know, some scouting reports. And this guy that someone, I think, mentioned that he's kind of like an offensive lineman in football, right, where you don't really notice him that much, but that's not always a bad thing. Like, he's just kind of smooth. Good first pass, you know, doing kind of the little thing. So we'll see how it is when the ice opens up into a somewhat of a game-like setting. But, again, it's tough to draw conclusions off of one day. But, again, it's not like Cassidy and his staff have an extended window here to see how these guys kind of fare up at this level.
They got to do it quick. This has got to be very quick and right to the point, and that's sort of what they need to do right now, because there's not, as you said, not a lot of time. So we covered everything, and this is a quick, I feel like this was a quick episode. Maybe we just had a lot to talk about for the first time in a few months. But we covered Chara, we covered Bergeron potentially or going to become captain.
I don't know, man.
I don't know. Kevin Miller's making a pretty big push for it with everybody.
That's true.
Talking about him.
Helped lead the stretch in day one.
He did lead the stretch. Bergeron brought him in too. So is Kevin Miller trying to topple Patrice Bergeron as captain? That's what we should be really talking about.
Maybe co-captains.
Yeah, maybe. Imagine they gave like three people the C. They're just like, we're going to do a 3C. Like they will have like, you know, an A. Cause they're always saying, you know, there's so many leaders without letters in the locker room and participation trophy time. Everybody gets a letter.
And be awesome. it should be
like a rank of what kind of leader you are. It's like you're like number 22 on your jersey. Means like you're the 22nd leader in the locker room. That wouldn't cause any problems.
Poor Greg McKeag. Like it's like his first day on the job. They give him 22. He's like, I don't know half the people in here.
What was I supposed to do?
Yeah. Poor Greg.
Connor Clifton's like, you know, like number 21. He's like, what is this? But anyways, that is that. Those are the lines from day one of camp. Connor will have the coverage for you from camp for BSJ. I over at CLNS Media. And that is today's Bruins beat. Felt quick, but at any rate, that is today's Bruins beat. That is Connor Ryan. I'm Evan Marinofsky. You Bruins beat listeners, have a great rest of your week.